Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Come on, give Jesus what He really deserves now. Oh, you can do better than that, HBC. Come on, give God your best. That's awesome. Well, good to see all of you guys. Boy, can I tell you how much fun it is to be home? Home. This is where I was born and raised, went to LSU. Can I tell you how exciting I am to say, go Tigers, and get an amen? See, I don't get that at my place, you know? I get people leaving the house, you know, when I say that. And so it's just good to be able to say that here. And we got the national championship coming up in about 3 weeks. Y'all know that, right? Y'all pray for me, you know, because I live in the enemy camp. Y'all know that, right? And so I need lots of prayer. In fact, last night, we were watching the game. We drove in time to watch the game, and we were just hanging out at the hotel some, and I was getting all kind of smack talk on, with texting and everything. And can I tell you how sweet it would be? Lord, if you love me. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today, everybody? It's just awesome. It's just awesome. And can I tell you how much I truly and deeply love your pastors? I mean, Dino and DeLynn. You know, I know you expect this, and you're probably in your mind thinking, okay, he's doing the customary hello, how you doing segment. And he's got to say a few nice things about the pastor. Go ahead and get to the word. But y'all, this is not just another customary, hey, how you doing? I'm telling you, you have in Pastor Dino and DeLynn the finest people on the planet that I know of. I mean, that's the honest to God truth. I mean, I believe that. I really do. And we are very close, as Pastor Dino said, and we talk regularly. It's an honor for me to serve on your board here and to be involved in what you're doing. And let me just say, as someone who gets a chance to look at things even that you don't get a chance to look at, I get a chance to see how things are done behind closed doors and some of the decisions that are made. And all I want to tell you is, if you knew what I knew, you would serve more, love more, give more, participate more, be more proud, because the things that are done around here are done with such excellence. And in fact, if I have any criticism of Healing Place, is that I'm always telling Dino, at some point you guys have to do something for yourselves. I mean, he gives everything away. He's just constantly loving and serving. In fact, he has just returned from Australia, speaking at a conference. He's actually speaking in Dallas today, but he was speaking in Australia all week. And I did that exact same conference last year. He spoke 13 times in just a few days. Talk about someone who's giving a lot. And this group of churches that we are working with over there has a vision to plant 400 churches in Australia over the next 10 years, and have asked HPC and Church of the Highlands and all of us to help them. They only have about 4% of the population that are even believers. Less than that even go to church. And there's a desperate need for life-giving churches across Australia. And your pastor worked really, really, really hard last week to serve these churches. About 1,000 pastors were in attendance at this conference that he spoke at. And you don't know it, you know, but when you give and when you pray and when you just support what he is doing around the world, the Bible says that let the sower and the reaper be glad together, that those who are part of it, even from a distance, get the same reward. And so I just want to encourage you to let you know that you're going to get to heaven and you're going to go, really? All those are my treasures in heaven too? I wasn't there. I didn't do that. And because you loved and served and gave and prayed and did everything you do here at HPC, I'm telling you, you're going to be proud. And I think we ought to give Jesus praise for what he's doing through you. Come on, give him a great praise, everybody. So it's way beyond what you know. I could spend an entire time that I have to speak to you to tell you all of the things that are going on there. It's just amazing. And so well done. You hear it from every guest speaker that comes through here. I know it. Probably tired of hearing it. But I'm going to tell you, well done, HPC. You set the example for so many of us around the world. And you're really, truly a model. And we love you so much. Love you so much. We are ready to get into God's Word. Are you ready to get in God's Word today? Say yes or no, yeah? All right, do you have Bibles or iPads or iPhones or something? All right, get whatever you read the Bible with, get it out, and we're going to pray here. But I want you to turn, first of all, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and then ultimately we're going to Matthew 6. So if you want to find two places, if you want to know that little string thing hanging there, that's for that second place. All right, go ahead and put that one on Matthew 6. Put the string thing there on Matthew 6, and then open to Genesis 4. If you get it, do you love your Bible, everybody? I said, do you love your Bible, everybody? I love the Bible so much. Let's just thank the Lord for his word. God, thank you. Thank you for this, first of all, for this amazing church. God, I truly am honored to stand in this great pulpit, in this house, Lord, and to speak. And I'm so honored even to be associated with a church that loves, cares, serves, gives, does everything that they do. It really is an honor, Lord. God, we pray for Pastor Dino. We know he's tired. We know he's spoken so many times in Australia and is even serving again today at another church. God, just give his body supernatural rest. God, thank you, Lord, for the team, the church family, and every person that really is a part of that. Bless them today. God, let them all see the significance of what this church is doing, not just here in the Baton Rouge area, but literally around the world. And God, we don't do it for our honor. We do it to honor you and to serve you. And we just want to hear it one day, well done. You did a great job, HPC. You're a good and faithful servant. And Lord, we live for that. God, today we open up our hearts to the authority and the power of the Bible. God, we love our Bibles. God, because we know this is not a book. This is you, Lord. This is you. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Today, God, we hide the words in our heart. God, we want them written on the tablet of our lives, Lord. We don't want more information in our minds. We want to be changed, Lord, we pray. So let your presence be here powerfully, not just for us to have a good time together as a church, but Lord God, so that we never are the same, that we leave here changed. Jesus is here, and anything can happen. We open up our hearts to it now in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're in a series right now called God First. And so if this is your first week in the series, this is a good one because honestly, the whole Bible is around this topic, believe it or not. There's a lot of scriptures about the whole idea of priority. I want you to make sure you understand this one thing right off the bat about priorities, and that is we all know what we're supposed to do. The problem is doing it. Like we all know, most of us who have any kind of value system, we know what's right. Like they said, a man on his deathbed never wanted to spend another minute at the office. You know, we know in our hearts like this is what's really important, but don't we find ourselves doing things that we don't really think is that important, but we actually spend time doing those things. So it's important for us to have topics and talks from time to time just on the topic of priority, because it's so easy for us to have a life we live and a value system that's not the same. There's a gap. And that's why we have New Year's resolutions, right? Because we know we're off. So we'll come to the first of the year and go like, I need to lose some weight, man. I'm fat. You know, I got to get this. Got to get them sugar cookies off of me from Christmas, you know. And so we set goals because we have a value system. I want to look this way, but I actually look this way, and I've got a gap there, and we try to narrow the gap. That gap is called our priorities. We got to figure out what our priorities are and what our values are and be able to actually end up doing them. I don't know if you heard this story or not, but there was this guy who was at the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you ever attended a Super Bowl, but Super Bowls are expensive, like thousands of dollars. I mean, life's a lot of money for a ticket to go to Super Bowl. He had great seats, 50-yard line seats, and he had an empty seat next to him. About halfway through the game, the guy behind him said, "Sir, I have to ask you, I'm just so curious. They're like, no one's sitting in that seat next to you. You're going to leave that $4,000 ticket, that seat empty?" He goes, "Well, man, that was my wife's seat. We've been to every Super Bowl for as long as we can remember. We've been at the Super Bowl, and my wife would always sit right there next to me." And he said, "Well, where is she?" She goes, "Well, she died." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, that's pretty special that you would leave it there as a memorial of her, who she was. But don't you think for $4,000 a ticket, you could let a cousin, brother, nephew, mama, somebody sit in that seat?" He says, "I can't." He said, "Why?" He says, "Because they all at the funeral." I mean, I know that brother didn't have his priorities right, right? I think we all, that's funny, I don't care what y'all say. That's funny. We all find ourselves with this gap. We all have the priority gap. All right, so that's why, you may not know this, but a lot of the Psalms were not written by David. We kind of attribute almost all of the Psalms to David, but there's actually the sons of Korah wrote some Psalms. This guy named Asaph, who was actually one of David's musicians, wrote some Psalms. Believe it or not, there's even a Psalm of Moses in the Psalms. I won't put it on the screen. I didn't tell you to turn there, but I want you to just look at this verse because it's a beautiful prayer that I would say would be a great theme verse for my message today. Because Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. One translation says, teach us to number our days and realize we don't have that many of them left, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Everybody say the word wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Wisdom is the, so I already know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just not doing it. So what do I need? I need wisdom. Well, what we're going to need in order to put God first, we know that's a priority. Oftentimes, he's not the priority of our lives. But if we're going to put God first, we've got to get our priorities straight in any area of our life. We don't need knowledge because we already know what to do. We need wisdom. We need the ability to apply what we know what to do. And this prayer is very important. But the secret is in the first part of that verse. And I want you to catch this. It's really important. This is really good teaching. It's so good, I might amen myself. It's really good, all right? So just get ready, all right? Because he says, teach us to number them. And I want you to think about that phrase right there. Because anything that you think you have a lot of, you will tend to squander. Anything you think you have a lot of. Anything that you think you have a little of, you tend to manage very carefully. Now, I experienced this firsthand in the past year. I've lost both my dad and my father-in-law in a nine-month period. A lot of you guys know my father-in-law, Billy Hornsby. When we were told by doctors, it's close. It's got a few weeks. I mean, we were over there every day, every day. Now, family's always a priority, right? I mean, family first. But when you realize that you only have a little bit of it left, you tend to really focus on it. Well, I want to just say something to you. And that is the life that you're living, most of us, including the ones speaking to you, oftentimes we find ourselves living in ways that does not reflect the fact that God's first, nor does it reflect the fact that that time is short. And guess what? Both are true. Both of them are true. In fact, James says our life's a mist. So after you see your life, after we get to heaven and you look back over time, and you're going to get a chance to do that, like look at it, it's going to be a blip. It's just going to be a poof. It's going to be a mist. It's just a vapor that was here today, gone tomorrow, James says. And so I just want to encourage you that the series we're in is not just another series. I think this is a critical series about how to put God first and how to have a God first kind of a life. So let me ask this question. And that is, what is the best way to determine what your current priorities are? Like, how would you know? Like, if I wanted to test you, if I only had a minute or two to talk to you, and I got to say, okay, let's see how you're doing, what would we do? And I want to submit to you that there are two questions a person can ask someone to find out what a person's priorities are. I mean, in fact, you don't even ask questions. You can just look into their lives. You can look at their lives in only two areas. And I promise you, it will scream what's important. And the first is how you spend your time. Like if I saw what you did first in the day, if I saw how you spend your week, because remember, we just have a little bit of it. So what are you doing with it? You're doing what you think is the most important thing. And a lot of times we find ourselves realizing that it's not the most important thing. So if I just look at your schedule, like bring me the schedule from last week, what would it say about you? Second thing that we can determine how that will show us what our priorities are is how we spend our money. I mean, if you just show me what you spend money on, that's going to say what's important to you. I mean, it's very, very, very obvious. And I'll be very quick to say that my LSU Tigers are very important to me. I was at the LSU Oregon game. It was not cheap. I bought lots of gear. It was not cheap. I brought four boys. Not cheap. All right? But it was LSU, baby, and we beat them Ducks. You know what I'm talking about? Chewed them, baby. Chewed them. All right? So, because obviously, I mean, you can just look at how I spent money over the past few weeks. You didn't even have to know anything about me, never even talk to me and say, well, that guy likes LSU. I can tell right now because, right? Because you're going to find out because of how we spend our time and how we spend our money. Well, Jesus even said that money is a connection. There's a connection between who you are and what you spend. He actually said it this way, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. There's not a disconnect there. Now, let me before you get ahead of me, let me tell you what I'm not doing today. This is not going to be a money message like my goal is to get you to give more, and Pastor Dino has not asked me to do that. We're not building anything. We're not going to take a special offering today. Can I hear a good amen? All right? So relax, but learn. But relax, all right? But a person's possessions and a person's schedules reveals their heart. And what I'm hoping you will do and what I need to do is assess where those two stand, and then let's make some adjustments if we truly believe that God should be first. And I'm making an assumption that you think he should. But let's begin living a life that actually reflects that. And that might make sense now why we have 500 verses in the Bible on faith and prayer and 2,000 on money and possessions. Why would we have four times more? Because he's saying, I can see where you are. I can know where your heart is better by that than anything else. There's a direct connect. In fact, even of the 38 parables that Jesus taught, the little stories that he told in the Gospels, the parables, 16 of the 38, nearly half of them, have to do with money and possessions. Why? He knew it was revealing to us where we stand with all this. And I always get a reaction, at least I do at my church or some churches, and it's because we've been to church. I get reaction to this whole like, okay, I know where you're going. I know where you're going. You're going to try to manipulate me into doing something. And you know, and I get it because I think a lot of us have been abused or misused in churches. In fact, I've told my church, I mean, we're not even going to do some things that you experienced in church with regards to money because you've been mistreated in that area. On behalf of my profession, by the way, I apologize if you've been to places that has manipulated you into things that just really weren't God. They were just them being able to manipulate you in that kind of a way. But I want to say something to you, and that is, we don't want anything from you today. We want something for you. If we get this right, what my hope is that you're going to begin to communicate something to God that's critically, critically important. I even had someone in my church, we taught this back in January. We did a whole series on the first, in the first of the year, in January. And I had a guy say, "Well, yeah, you're just going to talk about the tithe." And I'm going to tell you right now, the tithe is an Old Testament law principle. And I said, "Well, let's do this then. Let's go 2,500 years before there was even a Moses or a law or anything like that. And let's look at what God has to say." And that's where you are right now in Genesis chapter 4. You ready? All right, look in your Bibles. Here we go. All right, because I want you to see this little story that predates the law. Predates even all that stuff, 2,500 years. And I'm doing that to show you again, this is not a law principle. This is a God principle. Genesis chapter 4. Check it out with me. This is a really critical verse. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Now, if you don't know who those two guys are, these are the kids of Adam and Eve. All right, it says Abel kept flocks. So he was a shepherd and Cain worked the soil. So he was a farmer. That was their professions. Now, notice this little phrase with me. If you don't have a Bible, look at it on the screen. I want you to see it very carefully. In the course of time. Now, that's an important little phrase you need to note. In the course of time. Let me say it this way. Over a period of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. He said, "Well, man, look at all the apples I have. Look at all the corn and okra. Man, I got a lot of stuff. I think it's about time for me to show God how much I love him. I've got so much of this stuff now. I'm going to bring a little bit to God and offer up an offering." So he put a basket of fruit and vegetables together and he offered it. The Bible says he offered the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. All right, you got the picture? But check out what Abel did. Abel brought fat portions. Now, don't let that confuse you. That's just fancy Bible talk to say an animal. So he brought animals. Why? Because he didn't have vegetables. All he was a shepherd. So all he could bring was the animals themselves. So he says, but Abel brought fat portions, key phrase here, from some of his firstborn of the flock. Now, not over a course of time. He brought it from the first ones he had. And the Bible says this, that the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. For years, I've wondered why. In fact, even when I was in seminary, I actually went to a professor. I said, "What is up with that? Why would God not like those? They both brought what they had." I mean, poor Cain couldn't bring animals? Because he didn't have animals. All he had was fruit, and he brought it. Why wouldn't God accept that? And my professor said in jest, he said, well, Cain tried to, but he wasn't able. And I'm kidding. That's just, we'll move on. All right. That's funny. That's just funny. All right. No, he said, and he said to me what I now believe to be the wrong answer. He said to me, he goes, oh, well, the reason why God liked Abel's offering is because it had blood in it. God likes a blood sacrifice. It's not true, though. Because honestly, you'll see all throughout the scriptures, God receiving all kind of offerings that he looked on favor with those offerings that did not have blood in them. But what he did, God cannot accept something that's not first. The bottom line is the reason why God liked Abel's offering is he didn't wait till he had a bunch of sheep and goats and cows and pigs. He didn't wait till he had all those things. He brought, when he had the first one, he says, God, here's my first little lamb. I finally have a little lamb here, and I want to give you this first one. He gave God the first of it, and Cain waited until he had a bunch of it. And the principle is, check it out, this is going to set some of you free. God doesn't want your stuff. Can I get a better amen out there? God does not need your stuff. God needs to know where he places in your life. God does not need your stuff. God is not on a fundraising campaign. God is not up there going, well, I've got all this vision, but I have no way to pay for it. Trust me, he's not nervous about that today. What God wants to know is he first? He just simply wants to know where he places in your life. So if you like taking notes, I want you to write down three little principles that I promise you that if you get these in your spirit and then live by them, and really realize the power of them, it can literally change your life. Three basic truths that you should live by. The first one is that God must be first. Just God must be first. I mean, if God's going to be in our life, he wants to have that place in our lives. In fact, everything in the Bible is built on this principle. That's why even the first of the Ten Commandments is about this principle. Let's show it to them on the screen, guys. Exodus 20. Verse 1 says, God said, I am the Lord your God, and here's what I did for you. Now, I brought you out of Egypt. I set you free. I took all that junk in your life and got you out of slavery. And I'm only asking for one thing now, because I made that kind of sacrifice, because I put you first in your life. Here's what I want in return, and that is, I don't mind you having other gods, and I don't mind you having other loves, and I don't mind you enjoying football or shopping or whatever it is you like. Please don't put them before me. I mean, if you don't mind, because I placed you at that place in my life, could you do that for me too? I saved you, set you free. All I'm asking in return is I want to be first. Why does he insist on that? Think about it. Why would God insist on that? I don't think it's any different than why Tammy insists on it. My wife Tammy insists on it. I mean, what would it be like if Tammy came to me and said, baby, I want you to know there's about 3.5 billion men on this planet. And out of those 3.5 billion men on the entire planet, you the man. I'm like, thank you, baby. I love you. That's awesome. Baby, I want you to know out of 3.5 billion women on this planet, you number two. How many of y'all know there'd be hair, teeth, and eyeballs, right? Right? We'd have an issue in the Hodges house. She's not going to accept that. And honestly, number two out of 3.5 billion, that's pretty up there, you know. It's not enough. Wouldn't work. She'd want to know who that lady is, right? She's jealous. Why? And in the healthy, godly sense, she's jealous. Well, I don't know if you realize this, but the God you serve is jealous. Deuteronomy says, do not follow other gods. Why, is he mean or something? No. The gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who among you is jealous. He's not a mean God, he's a jealous God. He doesn't mind you loving LSU, but he sure hates it whenever it takes precedence over him. He doesn't mind you loving fishing or hunting or whatever, but he really takes issue and really, I mean, I love the fact I put that down there for you to enjoy, but really, you've now placed it at a higher place than me. God must be first. In fact, everybody say that little phrase, God must be first. Come on, say it again. God must be. Yeah, if we're going to have a relationship with him, God must be first. Now, I want every eye to look at me here for just 1 second. My friends, I just explained to you in one sentence what salvation is. Salvation is not joining HPC. Salvation is not taking communion or getting baptized. Those are all the things we do because we're saved. Let me say it this way. God doesn't want to be on your list. God doesn't want to be a part of your week. He insists, and really this is what salvation is when he's not only there, but he made his way to the top. The New Testament says it this way, you've made him Lord overall. He's number one. He's reassigned a place. Here's the problem, especially in our religious culture where all of us were raised in church, we all have God in our life, and we think it's enough. And it's going to be a rough day when many, Jesus said, are going to stand face to face before him, and they're going to say, well, I called you, Lord. He said, yeah, but we didn't have that special place. I don't really know you. I'm away from me. I'm sorry. Oh, but I prophesied in your name. I went to church. I raised my hands. I was one of the best tithers in that church. What are you talking about? Well, he said, well, that's good stuff to do, but that's not what counted. What counted was where I placed in your life. God must be. Say it again. He just must be. All right, principle number two. If you're taking notes, jot these down. These are powerful principles, and that is we put God first by giving him the first of everything. So that's why this message is really not even a money message, although I'm talking some about money. That's not my goal, because we don't put God first just by tithing or by giving God some money. It's like, all right, I'll show him my love. No, we put God first by giving him the first of everything. You say, Chris, how do you do that? We do it by giving him the first of your year. I like the fact that this church prayed and fasted at the beginning of the year. Why? Because it's just a cool time to do it? No, it's the worst time to do it. It's horrible fasting in the winter. You're freezing the whole time. It's terrible. Now, it's fun to lose a little weight after the holidays, but we don't fast to lose weight, right? What are we doing? We're trying to communicate to God. Hey, God, starting the year off here, and want you to know before we did anything else, it was you. Why did the early Christians even change Sabbath day and the church we would worship, the day we would worship from Saturday, the last day of the week, to Sunday, the first day of the week? You want to know why? Two reasons. One is because Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. The second was they were thinking, hey, let's communicate to God he's first by moving the worship day not to the end where he's at the end of the week. Let's put him at the first of the week. Let him know you're number one. And I honor you guys here today because you started your week off. Like saying, okay, God, before I go chase the almighty dollar this week, before I get out there and do my thing and make it all about me and all about that stuff, we want you to know you are you first. You tithed your week. You're doing it right now. You came and you said, God, I'm going to worship, honor, I'm going to participate. And that's why, honestly, I don't think you should ever miss. Not because it matters in some church sense. They don't require that, but God likes it. Look at, there he is again on another Sunday. And I knew he was feeling bad today too, and he still came. Oh, and I know he was up to midnight last night, and he still came. Oh, that's just, I'm telling you, it blesses the Lord, everybody. Are y'all listening to me, yes or no? Even if we give God the first of our day, look, prayer works all day long. It does, all right? I'm not trying to tell you prayer doesn't work late. But there's something about you waking up first thing. And this is the day the Lord has made. David said, early I will seek you. Why? Because God just listens better in the morning? No. Because he thought, really? You rolled out of bed and I was the first thing on your mind? And God's up there in heaven going, that just blesses me. I like that. I mean, I'm just telling you. Instead of coming in, where the Fruit Loops is, huh? And eat your Fruit Loops and then maybe throw a prayer in the car on the way to work. But when you roll out of bed, it's like, hey, Lord, I just love you today. God, I don't have a lot of time. I woke up late, but I want to let you know I'm giving you my morning sacrifice. And God's up there going, I'm a head of Fruit Loops. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. And I say, look for as many ways as possible to communicate that principle to God. That's why, I mean, I was raised in this town. I was raised in church. I've been in church since literally the Sunday after I was born. I went to Weller Avenue Baptist Church, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Central, Bethany Baptist Church up in Baker, I cut my teeth. I grew up in church in this town. Never missed a Sunday in church in my life to date, ever. My dad didn't allow it. If you was throwing up, you going to church. And he's like, you going to throw up? You might as well throw up at church. Get a bag. And we're going to church, you know. And that's just the way I was raised. And I was raised that. And my dad said, and we're going to tithe. If I got $5 in a birthday card, first thing he'd say to me after we'd open it, and I'd thank the person who gave it to me, he goes, you know what we need to do? I said, yeah, we need to honor the Lord with the first. I said, all right. And one day I asked that. I said, Dad, why do we do this? I mean, like, the church really needs my 50 cents. And he started crying. He says, because the Lord brought me out of slavery. And you don't know what your daddy used to be like, but he set me free. He changed my life around. And all he asks is to be first in our lives with this. He says, we're going to honor him. And I got it. At an early age, I got it. And since I don't even know the beginning date. I've never not given God the first 10% of everything, even if it's a birthday card. Why? Why? Because the church was building something? No. I'm trying to communicate something to God. Are y'all listening to me out there, everybody? I'm just saying. So you want to see it in Scripture? Leviticus 27. Look on the screen. A tithe of, say the word out loud, a tithe of, come on, say it out loud, a tithe of everything. Not your money. Everything. How do you do that? Tithe your year. Tithe your week. Tithe your day. Tithe. Just think God gets a tithe of everything from the land, whether it's grain or soil or fruit or trees. Everything belongs to the Lord, and it's holy to the Lord, which means when you set it apart, it does something powerful to the Lord. That's the principle. Oh, let me say it this way. That the tithe is even about 10%. Let me say it this way. Which means if you give 10% and it wasn't the first 10%, it's not a tithe. Now, it helped. Please don't get me wrong now. Well, like, well, then, all right, then I can't give. No, just be faithful. Do what you need to do to support your local church. But you didn't put the power behind it. Is that making sense, yes or no, right? Because God didn't want you to work out the month and go, you know what, it worked out this month where we can do a little something for, no. He wants to know before, because it doesn't take faith to do it the other way, folks. It takes faith to say, God, I'm going to honor you first. I know I'm late for work, but I'm going to take this 5 minutes and connect to the God who gives me breath, not the company who gives me a dollar. It takes faith to live this way. All right, let me say it this way. It took God faith to tithe when he gave his first. Because before he even knew whether you would receive him or not, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God says, I don't know if this is going to work, and this is costing me everything. And I didn't wait till I had a bunch of kids to send my son, I sent my only begotten son. He gave his first, not even knowing if you would respond to it. I'm just saying it's a powerful principle. I had somebody say, well, what's up with that whole 10% thing? That was God's way, because the word tithe means 10th part. That's just so that we can all play. The little kid in Sunday school can do this lesson today. We all can play, because it's not equal amounts, it's equal sacrifice. It's a beautiful principle by God. And it says it right here in Scripture, Deuteronomy 14. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. Can't get any clearer than that. Here's the third principle. Are you getting anything out of this today? I'm just trying to help you live a God-first life. All right, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just saying God must be first. If you've got him second, you might as well just stop working so hard because it's not working. All right, he just won't take that place. We communicate God first by giving him a first of everything. And this is the fun one. You're going to love this principle. And that is that the first has the power to bless the rest. Now, this is what's cool. This is the motivation behind it all, other than the fact that we love God. That should be enough. But here's an additional motivation. All right. And here it is. And that is when you do it, God likes it so much, he shoves power in it. So that when you give him 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of a year, he goes, really? I'm going to obligate myself to make this the greatest year of your life spiritually. You honor him with the first day of the week, man, I'm just going to pour out blessing on the rest of your week. You honor him with the first of your day, I'm going to help you with the rest of your. You honor him with the first of your income, then I'm going to cause the 90% to do more than 100%. I'm going to open the windows of heaven and bless you so much so that you're not even able to contain it. Let me show it to you in Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. In all your ways, there it is again. We're not talking about money. We're talking about in every way. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How, God? Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the, say the word out loud, with the first fruits. Here's how you honor me. Do it first. And then, here's what I'll obligate myself to do. Your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, if you don't believe that from me, I don't have a problem with that. Because I'm a preacher and I'm supposed to say this stuff. And so I get that. It works for me. Especially if you're new around here and you're a little suspicious, and we've already now confirmed your suspicions that's what we talk about when you come to church. Cool. Talk to somebody who doesn't work here then. And ask them if they tithe, and you let them tell their story. Just ask them. I'm serious. And they're going to tell you they have an unexplainable blessing of God on their life. Hey, just do it, man. Do it. God likes it. God likes it. In fact, I read a story recently. There was a company in San Francisco. It was found in the 1880s. It was a mason jar company called the Ball Jar Company. Y'all have heard this story? What year was it? I have it in my notes. In 1906. Remember the great San Francisco earthquake that created the whole fire across the city? Every building was leveled and burned except for the Ball Jar Company. It's like sticking up in the middle of the rubble. So when the firefighters went in, they not only was the building not demolished or burned, but not a single glass jar was broken. And the firefighters saw a plaque on the wall where the owner of the company had put Malachi chapter 3, where it says, if you honor God with your tithe, the first, he says he will rebuke the devourer for your sakes and open up the windows of heaven. Well, it created such a stir that it communicated so much in those days that from that day forward, every jar that left that building had a little track in it called the power of tithing, and it told that story. And it's true. And again, if you don't believe me, just ask someone. All I'm trying to get you to do today is put your life in an order where it communicates to God, God, you're first. God, you're first. He must be first. We make him first by giving him the first of everything. And then when we do, that first thing is considered holy. It's set apart. God puts power in it, and it causes it to bless the leftover stuff. I want to encourage you. So let's go to our final verse. I want you to see it in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So with that understanding, if you understand this now, this verse makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Okay, it really does. Because we gotta. Let me stop right here. And say, some people say, Chris, I love what you're saying, but I can't do that. I'm not sure. You don't know. We're strapped. I can't do this. And I would say you're right. It just takes faith to live this way, and Jesus knew it. It really does take. We gotta factor the God factor back in. And that's why Jesus said, okay, I know you're struggling with this, and I would submit to you that he was saying this with tenderness and compassion, and knew people were struggling. He says, but look, trust me. He starts off this way. No one can serve two masters. This is verse 24, Matthew 6. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Hey, people, you can't serve God and fishing and shopping. You can't serve God and LSU. You cannot. You cannot. You're not going to be able to do it. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry. Now, why would he have to say that line unless they were worried? Okay, I want to, God, but I'm scared. I'm scared to do this. I'm afraid to do this. This looks hard. But he said, look, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink or your body or what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than the food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father supernaturally, because they factored God in, feeds them. And aren't you more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can even add a single hour to your life? And why do you even worry about clothes? See, look at the lilies of the field. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like these. Look at this. Somebody take this into your heart today, please. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He said, the problem, the reason why you're nervous, it's not a money issue. It's not a time issue. It's a faith issue. You got to factor God back in. So don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagans do that. Okay, look at me. I'm going to say the hardest thing I'm going to say today. I'm not a hard preacher. So when I say hard things, I always say, okay, I didn't mean to. All right, here's one of them. When you don't live this way, you're living like a pagan who doesn't even believe there is a God. In other words, if you would go work real hard and then at the end of the day say, God, whoo, I messed up. I mean, you help me, Lord. He says, that's pagan praying. Faith praying starts the day saying, this is the day you have made. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to honor you. That's faith praying. The pagans tip God at the end of the month. Believers who have faith trust God with the first of everything. This is the truth. I'm preaching about 68% better than you're amening right now. I'm just telling you. That's just my thought. All right. For the pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows you need them. So here's what I need you to do. But contrast, change thought. Here's the big idea. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and I'll take care of those things. I promise you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Look in my eyes as we close. How many like to go to bed tonight not worrying about anything? Live a God-first life. Live a God-first life. In every area of your life, pray first, seek first, give first, serve first. Live a God-first life. I want you to hear this, and I'm going to close. And this is the only topic in Scripture that he said you can test me in it. Now, God doesn't like to be put to the test. But this is the only one he kind of gave you permission to test him. He said, test me in this then. So here's my challenge to you. Try it and see if he does not bless you and you lay your head down at night saying, you know what? My God is in control of my life.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.